Welcome to Geared Up, brought to you by National Car Rental. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
All right, Andrew, coming up on today's show, the Surface Go.
Surface Go, Microsoft's newest tablet PC.
Yeah, it's a hybrid, and it's 10 inches. We're going to be going hands-on with it here. In fact, we have here on the desk in
some of
the
studio. Favorites.
Right. This is sort of the latest in a line of Microsoft's attempts to make very portable, lightweight Surface tablets.
Entry level. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like the granddaughter of the original Surface RT, although I don't think Microsoft would want to claim that.
No, they would not. No, they would not.
Plus, we're going to be talking about the new leaks about the Samsung Note 9.
Galaxy Note 9. You were correct.
I was right. Okay.
Galaxy Note 9. Yes.
And we're going to get kind of a sneak peek at the next iPhones.
Yes, that's right.
You literally have things here in
the
studio.
Right here.
That are very similar.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So, Andrew, why don't we start with that?
We're going to start there. Okay.
Yeah. Because we talked about the iPhone 9 or the iPhone XS or
11.
Whatever they're going to call it. We talked about it on last week's show. And you have here with you mock-ups, hardware mock-ups of the next iPhones, basically built to the specs that have leaked.
Correct. So first I'll hand you this. This is just my iPhone X.
Got it.
The current iPhone X, okay?
Beautiful device.
Then there's this, which I don't know if this is the 9. Some people are saying it's going to be called the iPhone X Lite. It's still in the wrapping because I just got these as I was walking out the door.
So this is – can I take the wrapping off? No, you want me? I'll leave the wrapping
on.
Yeah,
we'll do it for video later. But it gives you an idea of the size.
Okay,
though. So this is the low end model.
So what you handed me is maybe 7% taller, I would say, than the iPhone X.
Just eyeballing it. 7%.
7% taller.
I'll tell you the size wise. The iPhone X is 5.8 inches, and what I just handed you is 6.1.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody can check my math there. I might actually be pretty darn close eyeballing, and it's just slightly wider. What you just handed me.
Now, if you look
the
on the back.
X.
It's got one camera instead of two.
Oh, interesting.
So that is the entry-level model. Despite being larger, that would be the entry-level model phone.
So explain this to me. Is this the successor to the iPhone X or the successor to the iPhone 8?
Yes. Successor to the iPhone 8, but as you can see, there's no home button.
Okay, got it.
So
right. So this essentially
it will have Touch ID and all. I mean, Face ID, rather.
Yep. And now I'm looking at the camera array at the top.
It should be similar.
It's a little different. Oh, wait. It's just because I'm not seeing the
remember
other
this
cameras.
Is just a model.
It's a mock-up.
Yeah, it's a mock-up. So it's not going to look exactly right. It's more for size perspective than anything. But it'll have the same sensor array, at least for Face ID.
Got it.
It may not have the same, you know, as good of a camera on the front, but it'll have the same technology for Face ID.
So this is the successor to the iPhone 8.
That's right.
It's not the iPhone 8 Plus.
No. So there's also this.
Okay.
This is the iPhone, again, don't know, 10 Plus, 11 Plus, whatever. It's the plus size version of the 10.
It's basically a little tablet.
It is a 6.5 inch version.
Okay.
6.5
inch screen. So that compares to 5.9, as you just said.
iPhone 10, 5.8.
5.8.
Right. 5.8 and then 6.9. I think it might actually be 6.5.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's significantly larger in terms of the screen size.
Right.
Still has very thin bezels
and
still has no home button.
Right.
So therefore.
Just larger.
Just much larger. Okay. Wow. So what are your thoughts after holding these? And I realize the weight may not be exactly the same.
No, not
the same.
At all. They're probably empty.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I think the big hit, in my opinion, is going to be the entry level model. This year, for the first time ever in the history of iPhone, the most expensive model is the best selling. iPhone 10 is outselling 8 and 8 Plus, not combined, but individually. It's always been the cheapest iPhone is what sells best. This year, that's changed. But I think in 2018, with the new models, this entry level version, which the rumor is that it'll have an array of different colors that you can get the back glass in, this will be probably what sells most because you're going to have the new UI. The home button's gone. So you feel like you're getting a 10, but you're getting something with an LCD instead of an OLED. It's a little bit bigger, but it's cheaper. I don't see why this wouldn't be the big hit.
So this is, again,
the year.
This is sort of the one that is the successor to the iPhone 8.
Yeah.
But it's a cheaper version. And remind me again, there was another iPhone back in the day that had bright colors.
The 5C.
The 5C. So this is kind of like what the iPhone 5C was to the 5, the iPhone whatever this is going to be is to the 8.
So we don't know what the internal specs are. The 5C back then was a 5 because Apple likes to release a phone and then the next year bump it down by $100. With the 5, they when they released the 5S, they couldn't make the 5 for that cheap. So they just took the 5 and gave it a new body. If this phone has last year's internals, then it would be similar to a 5C.
Got it.
But if it has upgraded internals for this year, then it's only five. It's only comparable just by the colors and nothing else.
And we should say that all of this is speculation at this point.
Correct.
Although informed speculation. And clearly, it would make sense for Apple to get rid of the home button in the new devices based on where they've been headed. I think this could be akin, though, to the axing of the headphone jack in terms of the negative reaction from people. We talked about this a little last week, but I do think it's a big risk to get rid of the home button.
Well, let me ask you this, because people do say that about the headphone jack. People still complain about the headphone jack to this very day. People complain about the MacBook Pro keyboards or the lack of ports.
Yep.
The iPhone continues to sell roughly 200 million units a year. Did the removal of the headphone jack really do any damage?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
But how many more could they have sold had those people not opted for?
I mean, they still sell more.
Okay,
they always, the numbers always go up. They just had a record quarter again a few weeks ago or last week. Record quarter.
Let me see the big one again. You said that's a 6.5-inch screen?
6.5-inch display. So that compared to this. This is what you've been used to.
Yep. So this is essentially the iPhone X Plus.
Yeah, that, exactly.
No matter what they call it, that's the way to think about it. So this is the other one that I've just picked up. That is a giant. That's basically a tablet.
Would you go for that?
It's a little too big
for me.
Where are
you at?
I'm still on just the standard iPhone
X. Didn't you use the 7 Plus?
I used the 7 Plus for a while, and I got to say, it was a relief to switch to the 10.
Because I was going to say, this is a similar size to the Plus model.
It was too much.
In fact,
my colleague John Cook got the iPhone 8 Plus, I believe. Does one of those things exist?
Yes. 8 Plus exists.
Yeah. So, honestly, it can be hard to keep track of.
Right. A Plus exists.
A Plus. So he got the iPhone 8 Plus.
Oh, he did. Finally.
He did. And
wow.
That thing is a monster. And, it's one of those where you end up taking it out of your pocket when you're at a restaurant for lunch or something. It ends up on the table more.
You don't want to sit on that. Yeah,
exactly. So this actually leads us into our next story, which is what? A leak about the Samsung Galaxy Note 9.
Okay.
One of the interesting things about this leak, and we should say there's an announcement coming up later after we record this episode.
Yes, I'll be there. It's happening on Thursday. I'll be in New York for the announcement, and I'll make a video and everything as well.
Yeah, so you can check that out at youtube.com/gearlive, Andrew's YouTube channel. But this leak was interesting in part because it indicated that the Note 9, in addition to a large screen and a stylus and everything that the Samsung Galaxy Note has had, will have a huge amount of storage, which is different for Samsung.
Correct.
Usually, they have a pretty minimal amount of onboard storage, and then you have to supplement that with like a micro SD card.
Right.
But they're talking about upwards of 512 gigs of internal memory, with it being able to go up to 1 terabyte with expandable memory. Like, who needs 1 terabyte of storage on their, is this a phone or a tablet? I guess it's a phablet, right?
Oh, God. I mean, what a terrible word.
School me on this, Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, 512 to me sounds great. The Note line is where Samsung kind of plays around with technology. Like, they try to cram stuff in. Last year, they were a little more conservative because the year before, the batteries were exploding. But typically, the Note is where Samsung will kind of play around. So, 512 gigabytes of storage, I think, sounds great. And then it's just the SD card slot supports another 512 gigabytes as well if you want to go to 1 terabyte. Now, what if you're concerned in this day and age, privacy? What if you take a lot of photos and videos? A lot of the phones these days, both iPhones and Android phones, will save storage on your phone by uploading everything to the cloud and then saving super compressed versions locally. What if you don't want your stuff in the cloud? What if you don't want Google Photos mining through your stuff or Samsung or whoever else? Well, you get a phone that can hold all your content and turn off the cloud functions.
See, this is interesting to me, though, because I've had computers that don't have 512 gigs of storage, let alone a terabyte. There have been times when I've gone out and I've had to buy full terabyte hard drives, external disks, just to store stuff. And now it's just going to be on this
phone. I mean, you don't want to take an external hard drive with you when you want to use your phone. Right?
Here's my thing. No, I totally get it. And I think it's great. But my question is, how much are the base level 512 gig versions of the Note 9 going to cost?
I think that's a good question.
Yeah. What are you paying
not
for?
Not cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, so if we think about it, the 256 gigabyte iPhone 10 is $1,150, I believe.
In that realm, yeah.
Roughly $1,150. So, I mean, I don't know how much higher you can go. $1,200? There has to be a ceiling to what people are going to be willing to pay for these devices. I don't know what that ceiling is, because the iPhone 10 is Apple's best-selling phone every week since its release, and that's a minimum of $1,000. So I don't know. It's a good question. I'm scared.
So we're obviously making all of these conclusions, jumping to these conclusions based on things that have not yet been announced.
Right. But we're seeing this, the leak was an official Samsung video. So what we're talking about is not rumor.
Right.
Just FYI.
Did anything else stand out to you in this particular leak?
4,000 milliamp hour battery.
Okay, explain that to me. I have no idea what you just said.
that's the battery capacity of the phone. Samsung was extremely conservative last year with the battery on the Note 8 because of the battery issues from the Note 7, which, if you weren't around back then, was released, started exploding, recalled, reconfigured, re-released, started exploding again, recalled and canceled.
Well, and to be fair, if you weren't around back then, you're now still only 2 years old, so you're probably not listening to Geared
Well,
Up.
I just mean
you
like
paying attention. Yes,
maybe you were 16 years old and now you're 18 and you're in the workforce or something like that. Okay, but what I'm saying is they were conservative with the battery. So last year, people were disappointed with the battery life of the Note 8 because the Note is a larger phone, but they didn't fill it with battery last year.
Because they didn't want it to blow up.
Which made sense. They were being a little more cautious. This year, they're back. So they're putting a huge battery in the phone. So to give you an idea, and it's not a apples-to-apples comparison because iOS manages its software differently, but the iPhone 10 has less than a 2,000 milliamp hour battery. Mm. So Samsung's putting a 4,000 milliamp hour battery in their phone. So basically, all day battery life, morning to night. You don't need to be rushing around trying to find somewhere to plug in. That's the idea, at least. It all depends on what you're doing on your phone, but your phone should be able to last you pretty much all day.
Fascinating.
It's a huge battery.
Okay, so you're going to be there. What else will you be looking for? What will be your measures of success on this particular device?
Samsung is really good at thinking of different ways to innovate on their products. And it's hard to think of what they're going to do because they always do something kind of out of left field. Mm-hmm. And just like, here's this feature no one ever asked for, but we're trying it just because. Like when they did the first curved display, the first phone they did with a curved display only curved on one side. And they said it was just an experiment. We're just seeing. And now all their phones curve on both mm-hmm. sides. And it has that very popular, sleek looking. They were the first phone to go, you know, minimal bezels and everything. So I'm not sure where they're going to go with the Note, but I'm just curious to see what that weird feature is this time.
How many times do you think they'll mention Bixby during the presentation?
Oh,
and I ask that as a litmus test for whether or not Samsung's voice assistant is really going to be relevant long term.
No, I think there will still be a dedicated Bixby button right on the phone. I don't know if you knew that or not, but Samsung's recent phones have a button specifically for Bixby. That's all it does.
Okay.
So imagine an iPhone having a Siri button.
Yeah.
Like just for Siri.
Right.
Like that's what the Bixby button is. You press it and all it does is let you talk to Bixby. It's very frustrating when you press it by accident.
Hello. What does Bixby sound like?
It sounds like it's English, I guess.
I was going to say,
get out of here.
Imagine anything named Bixby would have sort of a British butler approach.
Exactly.
All right. So that is a glimpse ahead at what could be coming in these large form factors from Apple and Samsung. I know you are a day-to-day iPhone user. Is there any chance that Samsung could lure you over as an everyday user? I mean, you test these things all the time, but
no.
In terms of your own device.
No.
Why not?
And it's because it's not about the hardware for me. It's about the software. A lot of the software I rely on is on iOS. A lot of the ecosystem, all my photos, everything's iCloud. So that's the ecosystem I'm currently tied to. However, you know, I usually carry around both an iPhone and a Google Pixel 2 XL. I love the Pixel's camera. I think it's the best camera in the business. So from that perspective, like, I'm always carrying around an iPhone and an Android phone, but the iPhone is definitely like my default phone.
Excellent. All right. We will talk more about the Galaxy Note 9 after it's released on next week's episode of Geared Up. So stick around for that next week, but stick around today on the show, because coming up, we're going to be going hands-on with the brand new Surface Go.
Yes, Panos Panay's new baby.
This is going to be a great discussion. That's coming up next on Geared Up. Welcome back to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
It is time for the National Car Rental Story of the Week.
Yes, Geared Up is brought to you by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro.
You can find Andrew's other show, when he's not here, he's moonlighting at Technically Speaking on the nationalcar.com control center. You can also find that at youtube.com/nationalcarrent.
That's right.
And so on that show, Andrew, you talk about gadgets, devices that will help you when traveling. And in fact, this week's National Car Rental Story of the Week, the new Surface Go hands-on, very much falls
into
that.
It fits in, yes. So if you want to learn about more tech as we talk about the Surface Go, if there's other stuff, if you're traveling, business travel, personal travel, and you want some of the best tech to either make travel easier or more fun or more productive, Technically Speaking is a show to watch.
That's right. And again, you can check that out at the nationalcar.com site or youtube.com/nationalcarrent.
Yes. The latest tech puts you in the driver's seat of your travel experience. National Car Rentals Emerald Club will keep you there.
All right. Let's look at the Surface Go. Well, Andrew, you know my history with the Surface.
I know it well.
Lineup goes way back.
It's comedy gold. I enjoy.
Is it comedy or is it productivity?
I enjoy your pain.
I've had a long history with Microsoft Surface devices, dating all the way back to this device, which I have here on the table in front of me, with its hinge, the Surface RT.
Original Surface RT.
Yes.
Which still looks good.
It does. I don't know if it still works. I haven't fired it up in a while. But this, of course.
We know it doesn't work great for running the apps that they said they would run on day one. We know that.
Well,
we know that much.
It certainly had a much smaller app ecosystem than the iPad and iOS, for example. So this was essentially a horizontal orientation, a 16:9 screen orientation. And then here I had the Surface 2 with its hinge. It had multiple positions in the hinge.
Yes.
As you can hear there. So the hinge is sort of the hallmark. And again, this also ran Windows RT, which is essentially a lockdown version of Windows. So that leads us to the Surface Go.
Also has a kickstand.
Also has a kickstand. But as with the most recent Surface devices like the Surface Pro, it is a smooth and basically any position kind of kickstand.
That's nice.
So you can take it basically anywhere, all the way up. Look at that. That goes all the way. Oh my gosh.
Almost
goes flush.
Yeah, almost 180 degrees. Look at that.
Wow, that's pretty impressive that it goes that far. I haven't broken it yet.
It's not broken.
So a few things to note about this. It's more of a 3x2 orientation.
Okay.
So you look at this, and it looks a lot like an iPad. In fact, I think if you handed this to somebody and you said, what is this thing, if they didn't have it turned on, they might think it was an iPad.
Yeah, they'd think it was an iPad from a couple of years ago. A little thick.
Exactly. It's got some pretty thick bezels. So the screen itself doesn't take up the entire front of the device like a lot of newer devices does. So that's interesting. A couple really good additions from my perspective. One, it has a USB-C port.
That is good.
So I've actually already tried this with an extended display. So I was able to run this with an external monitor.
Okay.
And it ran smoothly from my perspective. So now this is the lower priced version of the new Surface Go. It comes with 4 gigabytes of RAM. So this is not something that's going to have a lot of memory for you to run a ton of apps.
Right. It's 2018. 4 gigabytes. It's a little tough. But again, hey, entry level.
Yep. And the other downside is the processor. This does not run one of the Intel Core processors like the Core i3, Core i5, Core i7. It runs the Intel Pentium Gold.
Right. That's a new processor, but it's a new
low-end.
Not very fast. It's a new low-end processor for mobile devices like this. So you're not going to be doing a lot of video editing on the Surface Go, but what are you going to be doing with it?
Well, you're going to be doing a lot of web browsing, messaging, watching YouTube, a lot of the things that you might do on an iPad.
Okay.
So content-wise, a lot of the early reviews are saying, hey, it's an okay processor. Mashable, in its review, basically skewered the thing in terms of its performance. It made me wonder if perhaps they didn't get a version or a model of the Surface Go. Maybe their particular review unit had some flaws in it. Others, like Ed Bott from ZDNet, say his version went really well in terms of its ability to handle a bunch of different apps. But at the same time, you're not going to be running Photoshop or anything like that on this. And in part, you're not going to be running those high-end programs out of the gate because this starts with Windows 10S.
Right, correct.
So it is actually Windows 10. It's not like Surface RT back in the day, which was running this offshoot of the operating system, but it is locked down as Windows 10S, which means you need to run apps from the Microsoft Store,
right,
from the Windows Store to be able to actually use them on this device.
You can unlock it to full Windows, is that correct?
Yes, you can.
So if you do that, I think that's where it starts to get confusing, though, because you're able to unlock it from Windows 10S to full Windows 10, but the specs are pretty low end for a full Windows 10, what Microsoft would have you believe, computer.
Right.
It's not a lap. It's not a tablet. It's a computer. It's running full Windows.
So here's where I think this fits in. And I will say, we talked about Minecraft last time.
Yeah.
So whereas Chromebooks cannot run Minecraft natively, this, you open up the Windows start menu, and right there, boom, there's Minecraft waiting for you to download. At least for me. Maybe that was based on my prior configuration, but still, they make it very clear.
Yeah.
Microsoft owns Minecraft now, and so they can leverage that, and of course it would work on their device. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing you can see here, it's actually looking for me. This has Windows Hello built in.
Okay, facial recognition.
For a low-end device like this, that is actually very unusual.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that, and it actually has worked. It's not working right now just because we've got microphones and everything in front of my face, but it works smoothly and reliably in my tests. So overall, I really do like it for what it is. And what it is, I think, is the ability to put this in your bag, in a small bag, and take it with you and have something that works really well as a tablet, an iPad alternative, but also can, to a limited extent, be kind of like a toy laptop, a baby laptop.
So you like it for what it is.
Yes.
Is it worth the money for what it is? And it should be said that the keyboard is an additional $100.
Yeah, it's actually more than that. Well, the black keyboard is $100, and I think if you want to get the full the nicer fabrics, it's a little bit more. I can look that up while we're talking here. I've got the Surface Go keyboard right here that is in the Alcantara. Did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Fabric. So
same thing. It clicks in there, and it has the magnet to allow you to kind of attach it to the lower end of the display. So you have a little bit of an angle for the lappability that you need and deserve. I did not make that up. That is our friend Panos Panay's creation.
Yep, and I'm looking up the keyboard prices now. But yes, they do start at $100. So you can get a little bit more expensive if you want some of the higher end fabrics on it.
Okay. But that's the only difference. The functionality of the keyboards is the same. You're not paying more for like more function in the keyboard, I assume.
Correct.
It's just the material. Okay.
Right. And one nice thing that Microsoft has done with this keyboard is the keys, and you can feel this as you're typing, they're a little bit concave. And it actually reminds me a little bit of my ThinkPad. And I've actually, even though this keyboard is smaller, even than some of the previous type covers, I find it pretty easy to use. Now, I wouldn't want to sit here typing all day on it.
No.
But 15, 20 minutes at a coffee shop, it would actually be much better than the phone, than using a phone to sit down and type out and respond to a bunch of different emails.
Right.
Now, I also did get one of the Surface mice.
Okay, so you've paid how much for the mouse?
So there's two different versions of the mouse that are meant to work with these Surface devices.
And are not included in the box,
And are not included in the box. So one is, and of course you can use any kind of Bluetooth mouse. You could also use like a USB-C mouse. There's USB-C. Are there USB-C receivers? Yeah. So the Surface Mobile mouse, which was not available in time for me to get it from the Best Buy, is $35. So that's a little bit smaller. I've got the Surface mouse here, which is pretty small. It's a nice desktop Bluetooth mouse, and that is $50. So that is a pretty expensive device.
$50.
$49.99. Okay. I will say, look at this thing, though. I mean, it is nice. It is a nice mouse.
Well, what I'm my point, no, though.
But we should say the Type Cover has a trackpad.
Yes, yeah. Type Cover has a trackpad. But we're going from $400 to what you have here is $550.
Yes.
Right?
That's exactly right.
So goes back to my question. You liked it for what it was, but is the value there for the price?
That's a good point. I think the key issue clearly here is the Type Cover and whether you need it and the value that it adds. Mm-hmm. To me, the real killer here, if Microsoft were really truly interested in building market share in this category versus mm-hmm. just providing essentially a role model for other PC yeah. makers, which I think is a lot of what they're doing here. If they really wanted to make this a huge success, they would take a loss and bundle in the Type Cover at the base price of $399. Yeah. And I think that would be a huge attention getter. And a lot of the reviews are saying that as well. And maybe that's something Microsoft could do for the holidays, for example, if they really want to
holiday bundle
boost the volumes. And that would make sense, actually, given the production timelines, too.
Yeah.
By that point, they'd be able to ramp up their manufacturing capacity to make that happen.
Right,
So overall, very interesting. I'm not sure exactly how big of a market this is going to be. I think it could be something that's still pretty niche.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another example of Microsoft trying to show other PC makers what's possible. And for that, I think it's a nice little device. You're looking at this very skeptically. You would never get this.
I'm looking at it like, how would I use it? Because the question with, I think, a lot of tablets is, well, I have my computer.
Yep.
I have my phone.
Right.
Phones are getting to be so powerful these days and big. Where does a tablet fit in that? And something like this is not replacing a laptop.
No.
It's not replacing it. So that's where it's confusing, because if it's not replacing, how is it augmenting? How is it better?
I agree with you. I think for some people it could replace. And I'll give you a good example. You know, we are obviously like road warriors.
Yeah.
You much more than me, but I think we're thinking of this in a much more high intensity use case.
Right, right.
But for somebody who's just at home and maybe they have an iPad that they use to pay bills or something, the ability to add a keyboard,
mm-hmm.
but that's for, as you're saying, the price gets in the way.
Yeah.
But the ability to just very easily add a keyboard that's made for it as opposed to a third party peripheral like you would get with the iPad.
Right.
That to me could be appealing to some people.
However, it's called the Surface Go.
Yes.
Which implies you're not buying this if you're just sitting at home.
That's true.
You just get a cheap laptop. This is meant to be taken with you, thrown in a bag, taken with you on the go. And that is where I'm wondering, like, if you're that kind of person who's on the go all the time, it would seem that this is good for a student.
Yes.
But maybe I can't think of an adult professional where this would be the device of choice. And I don't know. You've used it more than I have.
Yeah,
I have in my mind.
Yeah, which is not a lot. I've only had a couple hours of hands-on time with this over the weekend.
Fair enough.
But I get it. I think for some people who say, oh, hey, I want a tablet and I want it to also be able to serve at times mm-hmm. as something kind of like a laptop, then
there
this could
is.
Fit. And I agree with you. I think that's a small slice of the market.
Right. So. And I'm on Windows and I want to run my Windows apps.
Yes. And I'm willing to go through the process of converting this from a Windows 10S to a full Windows 10
home. Which
has
a price tag.
No, that's for free.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah, you can make on this device, once you have Windows 10S, it does not cost anything to switch it to Windows Home. It's just a process to go through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, so that is the Surface Go.
Is that a thumbs up or a thumbs down from you? Is it thumbs in the middle?
I would give it a qualified thumbs up.
Okay.
In other words, I think if this is... I think for some people, this is the right device. And I think that is for people who want something that is a tablet plus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the ability to take a tablet and make it something else and take it quickly with you.
Right.
Travel. I mean, like family travel. I could see taking this on vacation.
Yeah. Road trip. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to work travel. Okay. All right. So that is the Surface Go. We'll continue to use this and maybe talk about some of our future impressions on upcoming shows.
Okay.
Coming up, Andrew, I've got a game for you.
I love games.
All right. I've been going through my closet, and I've got something to show you.
All right.
That's coming up next on Geared Up. All right, Andrew. All right, welcome back to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
All right, Andrew, I've got a game for you.
I love this.
Okay.
Is it a challenge?
It's a challenge. It is a challenge.
I'm winning.
As you know, I like to use sometimes older technology.
Oh, I know.
And I've tried over the course of my life a bunch of different things to try and solve problems in my life. To the extent that I look back on those technologies now and I just laugh.
Okay.
Because new technologies have come on that completely obliterate the need for
yes.
them. And so I'm moving to a new house.
Congratulations.
And so I was going through my closet and I found a bin of old gadgets.
When's the
and
last time
devices.
You saw this bin?
It's been probably 8-9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to grab something out of the bin and I've actually taped it up. Here, first off, let me get the bin. I've got it right here with me.
Get the bin. What the heck?
I got it right here.
How much does that weigh?
It's pretty heavy.
Is that a package of sealed CD-ROMs?
Yeah, a package of sealed CD-ROMs. I've got like a generic Microsoft Sidewinder
what the heck?
Video game controller here. I wonder if that'll still work. I've got the original mics that the first GeekWire podcast was recorded on.
That's... Wow.
Isn't that great? The headset mics.
They're like $19.99. Yeah,
it sounded about like that. But what I want, I've even got like my old kryptonite lock from college in here.
Is that for a bike?
Yeah, for a bike.
Look
yeah,
this guy.
This was the one that could be taken apart with the Bic pen, the Bic pen they found out later. But what I really wanted to show you, Andrew, was this.
What the heck is this?
This is
like a shark fin.
Okay, so I've taped up the name of it. So this is going to be a game to see if you can figure out what it is. Let me put.
I've never seen this in my life. It looks like, for those listening, I'm looking at a. It looks like a shark fin with the Wi-Fi logo, and it's a USB device. So I imagine you plug this into a PC.
Let's look at exactly what it has. So what do you think that is on the
headphone
back?
Headphone jack?
It looks like a headphone jack on the back. And it's made by Griffin.
Griffin, okay, they're an accessory maker.
Yep. So it's white and you might
plug
notice I'll point out a couple other things that might tip you off as to what this is. I'd say it's maybe 7 inches, 8 inches tall. And it as you said, it's like a shark fin. It's plastic. And you'll notice this looks like it was exposed to the sun somehow. For some reason I had so that it's on one side of it, it's completely sun
it's like yellowed.
Sun bleached, yellowed. And the other side is normal white. I think this is the white that it looked like when it first came. But you're right, it looks like a shark fin, like maybe a dorsal fin, I think. Is that technically what it is? It's a dorsal fin.
Is that the dorsal in the back of the shark?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Dorsal.
Yeah, Claire confirms. Claire's our scientific expert over there. The other day, we were talking about watersheds and how they work.
I love consulting with Claire.
Claire always is able to set us straight on the science. So that's good. Okay. Any guesses on what this thing
is? Okay. So one side is in the sun.
Yes.
Because originally I was going to say, okay, if it's outside, maybe it's like attached to a car.
Nope.
But that would be, the sun will be all around. Headphone jack.
Yep.
Is this something to stream music?
You're close.
Are you picking up TV signals
this? You're getting closer.
You're picking up radio?
You're picking up radio.
What?
This was and is the Griffin Radio Shark. You ever heard of this thing?
No. What the hell is a radio shark?
Oh, my God. I love this thing back
in the
day.
Can I say hell? What the heck is a radio shark?
Well, let me explain to you what this thing is. So this is I'm taking off the thing. I'll props to anybody out there who knew what this thing was.
If you knew...
Well,
be honest. Comments.
So what this would do is allow you to schedule broadcast recordings. In other words, this is an FM. It's a TiVo for radio using your computer. That's exactly what it is.
What?
So you would basically put this in the window and that's why I had it in the window. It would get best radio reception there. I remember the home that I was in when I used this. I remember exactly where it was.
Okay.
And I had a Mac and I would plug this in and use, I can't remember. It might've been an early version of Audio Hijack or something like that. And you plug it in, and then you can actually schedule times for this to turn on, to tune to a radio station that you want to hear, and then you would actually be able to record it. Yeah, absolutely. So there were talk shows, different things that I liked to listen to at the time. And this was essentially my podcast hack. So,
and it worked well, I assume.
It worked well. This was, I think there were podcasts at this time, but they certainly weren't as prolific, and the major broadcasters were not doing them, like NPR,
yeah,
as much as they are now.
Wow.
So I was able to catch and record, and then I believe sync to my original iPod.
Your iPod, yes.
That would then allow me to use that.
Did this light up?
Yes, it lights up.
I like
in fact,
that.
In fact,
I like
let's
that.
Plug this thing into a USB.
Oh, look at that.
It lights up. It lights up blue. It still works. Yes. So
I wonder if the software, like, would this be able to do something today?
I bet it would, actually.
Is it? I mean, because it's just, what, an FM? Just FM,
FM
or
receiver.
AM?
I can't remember if it was AM or.
It's a receiver. So it's still it's picking up, I mean, receiver, that's pretty.
It could probably pick up Cairo.
That's crazy.
I'll see if I can record. That's what I'll do.
That's
I'll
crazy.
See if I can schedule
record
it.
Record us.
To record us
there you
on 97.3 FM
go.
Cairo.
That's
yes,
right.
There we go. Okay.
So the headphone jack, though, would that allow you to listen live?
While you were, yes, exactly.
While recording.
So
okay.
You could almost do a little monitor on
okay.
it just to make
but
sure.
But that wasn't required. You could just plug it in and just,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So they would pile up and then I would download them to my iPod and listen to them while I was doing chores around the house, kind of like a podcast. I wanted to ask you, though, to sort of modernize this
okay.
entire discussion. Where do you listen to podcasts these days? What's your favorite app? How do you do it? Do you use your AirPods? I'd like to hear your setup.
The thing with me is a lot of times I'm either in front of the camera talking to it, mm-hmm. so I can't listen then, or I'm editing where even if I play something, I'm focused on what I'm saying in the video that, you know, when you're like, you're not paying attention, you have to kind of keep rewinding.
Yes.
So usually I'm not listening to podcasts unless I'm in the car. And in the car, the Tesla has this Stitcher TuneIn. It's called TuneIn.
Yep.
It has TuneIn built in to the car's display. And so I can kind of go on my computer, tunein.com, pick the podcast that I like there, favorite them. And then when I go in the car, it's just waiting for me there. And so I can say, you know, I can even use voice control, play the latest episode of, you know, whatever podcast, and it'll just yeah. start. So the car is really my main area for podcasts. And then also secondarily to that, a lot of times when I'm not working on videos and if I'm not like watching TV with my wife, I'll just use the HomePod and I'll ask, you know, the Siri to play whatever podcast it is I want to listen to while I'm just like kind of hanging out in the living room.
That's fascinating. So you've kind of gone on to podcast 3.0, whereas this was maybe 1.0, taking the
0.5.
This is the yes, exactly. This is the alpha.
Right. Because you were pulling. They weren't pushing to you.
Exactly.
You were pulling.
Exactly. So you've gone on, though. You're not just downloading and syncing or getting them on
right.
your device. You're actually, this is next level stuff.
I rarely download the podcast. I usually, unless I'm going to take a flight or something, then I'll use Overcast to download. But usually I'm just asking for a podcast and just streaming it, not really downloading it, just streaming it.
That's great. I got to tell you, my favorite new podcast, I've got a bunch of different
tell
ones.
Tell me.
How I Built This is one of my all-time favorites. I'm actually going back and listening to every episode that I missed back in the day.
What's
of How
about?
I Built This. Oh my gosh. It's an NPR one with Guy Raz where he talks to people who built successful businesses that are now well known about everything that it went.
Okay.
And all of the horrible turns that they took along
right.
the way. And it's super inspiring.
That's interesting. I thought it was going to be like This Old House, but podcast style, like How I Built This Shed. Like, I was like, this guy's just, he's moving and now he's going to start building, like he's going to start woodworking.
Good idea. You got a winner there.
Yes.
No, my other new favorite one is Everything is Alive. It's a new podcast where the host talks to actors who are playing inanimate objects. So in one of the debut episodes, for example, he talks with a generic cola can
okay.
that was purchased from the supermarket and hidden in the back of the fridge for years about his life and how it unfolded and leading
Is
up
it
to
improv.
I think it's structured improv.
Okay.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And it's a great commentary
I'll give that a shot.
On our world as well. So
nice.
That's one of my favorites. That's Everything is Alive. That's a great one too.
Right. Don't forget about Geared Up. You're listening anyway.
Yeah. Actually, that's a perfect segue. If you are listening to this, be sure that you're also subscribing to it
yes.
in your favorite podcast app. Search for Geared Up.
Two words.
On Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player.
Mm-hmm.
Geared Up is a production of GeekWire and Andrew Edwards.
You're doing this by memory?
From Gear Live. It is produced by Claire McGrain. And I think that's really all I need to know
that's
since
it.
I don't have the sheet in front of me. Claire says good.
Claire says good. Yeah, all right. He was kind of laughing, but okay.
And a big thanks, as always, to National Car Rental for sponsoring the show and making it possible. Again, be sure to subscribe to Andrew's YouTube channel or our Facebook page, because we are going to be restarting
live streams.
That's right. So the GeekWire Facebook page or Andrew's YouTube channel at youtube.com/gearlive. Until next week, I'm going to take my Radio Shark and go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Please put it to good use.
I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Thanks for listening and watching Geared Up. Talk to you next time.